Hello and welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service, coming to you live from our studios in central London. I'm Julian Marshall. And we go first to Ethiopia, where what began as a conflict pitting the central government in Addis Ababa against a regional administration in northern Ethiopia now runs the risk of spreading to other parts of the country. The Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed last week ordered a military offensive against the Tigray state after what he said were attacks on government bases by forces of the local TPLF administration. Tensions between the two sides have been simmering for months. Communications with the north have been largely cut, but what is known is that hundreds of people have so far been killed in this outbreak of hostilities, including many in a massacre that's been reported by Amnesty International, while thousands have been fleeing airstrikes by Ethiopian government planes. And now the government in Addis Ababa has accused TPLF forces of launching rocket strikes on two cities in Amhara state, which neighbours Tigray. I heard more from Tom Gardner, correspondent in Addis Ababa for The Economist.
The government has confirmed that they occurred. They said there has been damage to airports in Gonder town and Bahedar town, which were hit by ballistic missiles. They said these were fired by the Tigrayan security forces, which answered to the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, the TPLF. They said this was the last gasp of the TPLF junta, which is what they call them, in its bid to destabilize Abiy's government.
The TPLF leader, Debretsion Gebremichael, said he didn't have any information about the reported attacks, but has said previously that any airport used to attack Tigray will be a legitimate target. I mean, do we know whether these air bases in Amhara have been used for attacks against Tigray?
I think we do. I mean, that's where the Air Force is based, and it has been carrying out aerial bombardments on Tigray since the beginning of the conflict 11 days ago. There is an awful amount of misinformation or unconfirmed, unverified information, particularly regarding what's happening on the ground in Tigray, because there is this telecoms blackout.
I mean, how would you describe the atmosphere in Addis Ababa at the moment? I mean, does it feel like the capital of a country that's on a war footing?
For the last 2 days, in fact, there has been, you know, blood collections, a fundraising drive to go and support the troops and the militia on the front line. So there is certainly a sense of popular mobilization in Addis. But I should also say that I think there is somewhat reluctance or maybe denial among people in Addis to see this as a civil war. The way that the government sees it, and they've been very, very kind of firm about this, is they say this is a law enforcement operation that has kind of strict and limited objectives. So, you know, there is this sense that it will all be over by Christmas, effectively. However, I should also say there are lots and lots of ethnic Tigrayans living in Addis and other parts of the country, but particularly in Addis, and they certainly feel under siege and targeted because there has been quite a lot of credible reports of them being ordinary Tigrayans, but certainly senior Tigrayans being targeted in state institutions, not just the security apparatus, but, you know, government offices, state institutions, and even ordinary Tigrayans being, you know, arrested, detained over the last 10 days or so.
But these rocket strikes on Amhara state, I mean, what's your assessment? Does this look like the conflict spreading? I mean, I see there are reports of hundreds of Amhara militiamen rushing to join the fight in Tigray province.
Hundreds, thousands, really. Debretsion, the president of Tigray, said only about 3 days ago that they would not strike outside, or they would not take the fight outside of Tigray. I think that clearly that is not the case. Clearly they have targeted, they believe this is, you know, it's an act of self-defense, but they clearly have taken the fight outside of Tigray now. And as you said, we also have the involvement, quite heavy involvement of Amhara militia. Amhara being, you know, Tigray's neighbor, which has disputed territories along the border. These militiamen, these Amhara militiamen, that, you know, these are farmers, these are youth. This suggests that, yes, it is taking on a rather alarming dimension, which could very easily turn into a war which spreads throughout the north and possibly beyond. And the news we had about 3 days ago of a massacre within some of these disputed territories, a massacre of Amharas allegedly by Tigrayan militia or security forces, certainly is an indication of quite how bad this could get.
That was Tom Gardner of The Economist speaking to me earlier from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. And as I mentioned, thousands of civilians have been fleeing the fighting in Tigray to seek refuge in neighbouring Sudan, where I spoke to Jens Hezeman, UNHCR emergency coordinator on the Sudanese border.
So Sudan has received at least 17,000 people over the last 5 days from the Tigray region into eastern Sudan, into Gedaref State and Kassala State. We're seeing this influx at least 3 border points. Now, these 17,000, these are the people we're able to somehow register and identify, but I think there's likely many more in the border areas. I was yesterday in Hamdayat border point. As we were there, there were people pouring across the river at that border point using small boats. There were people walking up the hills. We have an existing reception center in Hamdayat, a very small one, but that was completely overflowing with people. And then in Hamdayat town itself, there were many Ethiopian refugees seeking shelter there.
And why are they fleeing?
So from what people tell us is that they're afraid based on the fighting in the Tigray region. They fear for their safety. They've talked to us about that there were people who were killed in that region, but I don't have the details exactly of what happened there. Some of them are coming with their belongings. In one border point, people are coming even with livestock and some agricultural machinery. In other border points, people carry some sacks, and many people come without nothing. So I've seen people over the last night sleeping on the floor with literally nothing because they just had to run so fast and they couldn't take their belongings.
But are they fleeing because of what has happened to them or what might happen to them?
We're still assessing the reasons for flight. The indications we have from the government of Sudan will grant asylum to all Ethiopian refugees arriving here. Now, the exact reasons for flight, we're not even assessing that right now, because now is not the time. Now is the time for life-saving measures.
Are you able to cope with this influx of refugees? I mean, do you have camps? Are you having to construct camps?
The influx is happening very fast. So on average, we have 3,000 people arriving every day, and tomorrow another 3,000. These border points are in extremely remote areas. The road networks virtually don't exist. Yesterday, to get to Hamdayat border point, we had to drive through fields, and it takes a long time. The other border point is connected to the main towns through a ferry. So to reach, for example, Lukzi border point from Kassala, you have to cross a lake, and that's another logistical challenge where there's a small ferry only. What needs to happen now very fast is some initial life-saving actions at the border. We need to provide food at the border, safe drinking water, and latrines so that there's no outbreak of diseases. The moment the population is in a reasonable good health status, but that can deteriorate very quickly. But the main objective is also to relocate people away from the border to a site where there's more space. Now, we have found one such site in Gedaref State. It's called Umra Kuba. We're opening a new camp there. We're constructing the reception center as we speak. The challenge is that the currently identified site in Umra Kuba is very small. So we can maybe accommodate there up to 5,000 or 6,000 people, and then we have to look for another site.
You've spoken about providing the refugees with food and water, but medical care as well to treat injuries?
We have started a health clinic with our partner, the Sudanese Red Crescent Society. We have stationed an ambulance at Hamdayat. When I was there yesterday, I asked what are the main diseases, and it's respiratory diseases. So that's a bit worrying given the global situation of COVID-19. So I wasn't told about injuries yesterday, but I had a report from another border point that there were injuries.
That was Jens Hezeman of the UNHCR speaking to us from Gedaref in Sudan. Well, following that Amnesty International report of a massacre of civilians in Tigray province, Ethiopia's Human Rights Commission is to investigate. The announcement from the commission, which is appointed by the government but independent, comes after the UN Human Rights Chief warned that the deaths, if verified, could amount to war crimes. I'm joined now by the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission's spokesperson, Aaron Marsho, and what's the extent of your information about those mass killings?
As you know, telephone lines remain cut off in the region, making it very difficult to gather as much information as needed and corroborate reports and claims that have been made over the last 10 or 11 days. But having said that, as you mentioned, there have been allegations that a massacre of civilians took place in Maykadra in southwest Tigray. The Ethiopian Human Rights Commission has dispatched a team there, and that team will carry out an investigation that will be made public, its findings upon conclusion of its work. So that's where that's where things stand right now. Let me add a little bit about the allegations of ethnic profiling as well, of ethnic Tigrayans. We've been receiving information from certain parts of the country of people facing discrimination and exclusion on account of their ethnicity. So far, we have visited some police stations where some people are being held. While most have not faced human rights violations, we've been informed by one person, for instance, that that person was subjected to beatings. So we're monitoring these allegations very closely. And in the meantime, the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission calls for due care to avoid the risk of ethnic profiling and discrimination.
I mean, in that context, you must be slightly alarmed about the potential this conflict has for greater tensions between the different ethnic communities. For instance, it has been reported that the victims of the massacre by reportedly Tigrayan security forces were in fact Amharas.
It's definitely alarming, but yes, I think for now, you know, our team has already been dispatched, so we can't give any details for now, but we'll make it public. But it's definitely this whole atmosphere of ethnic profiling and discrimination is definitely alarming, and that's why the Ethiopian Human Rights Commission is calling for due care to avoid an escalation of this.
Just very briefly, I mean, how close to the scene of the reported massacre are your people going to be able to get? I mean, it's in Tigray, and the authorities there have denied that it even took place.
As soon as possible. We're hoping to be there within either today or by tomorrow. That's the plan.
OK, many thanks. That was Aaron Masho, a spokesperson for Ethiopia's Human Rights Commission. You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Julian Marshall, and this is NewsHour. Still to come, Brazil's president Jair Bolsonaro is gaining popularity in poor regions where he used to struggle to gain support. We hear from some of his new supporters about why his ratings are on the rise there despite his disputed handling of the COVID-19.